Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from our Gospel reading of St. Mark. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Thus far the text. Jesus did some pretty extraordinary things during his ministry. Miracles abounded, and we are privileged to hear about a number of them. But most of them we never really do get to hear about. Most of the healings and exorcisms that Jesus performed are left out of Scripture in one way or another, as the Apostle John says at the end of his Gospel reading. If everything that Jesus did was recorded and written down, there wouldn't be a library big enough in all the world to hold the books. And so we get sections, like we do in today's text, where we get to hear that Jesus spends the entire night healing many people and casting out many demons. We don't get the specifics of all of the cases like we do with Peter's mother-in-law and that fever of hers. But that's okay. We get to hear that the maladies were many. We get to hear that the people were numerous. But all these things are written down because it is important for us to hear about them. Whether they're specific or whether they're general, it's important that we might know and see exactly who this Jesus is. In the person of Jesus, we see that the effects of sin that come through sickness and disease, the effects that all of us have to face in one form or another, are completely under the rule, completely under the authority of God. And we see that Satan and his demons, all of his fallen angels, are subject to the Lord of Lords as well. This is good for us to see. It's good for us to hear. It's certainly good for us to know. The effects of sin and the power of Satan, they continually assail us each and every single day of our life. In this valley of tears, they will never stop inflicting their pain and their evil upon us. In our fallen flesh, we begin to die the moment we are conceived. From the moment in which our life begins, Satan begins to fight against us. And so we must know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has authority over all of these things. Let the Christian understand that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And speaking specifically about our text, our temporal health is on the forefront of our Lord's mind. He is not apathetic to the burden that sin brings in the form of physical pain and disease and sickness. He cares for you exactly where you are at, dealing with the things that you must deal with. In the throes of cancer or debilitating arthritis, with a common cold or COVID, emotional depression or psychological anxiety, the growing pains of adolescence, or the crippling effects of old age. All of these things our Lord cares deeply about, and it does truly break his heart to see his children suffering with them. And so he comes and heals us of these things. Perhaps it's through modern medicine or surgery. Maybe it's through a vaccine or antibiotics. Sometimes it's just our immune system, or maybe just that random, unexplained miracle. Whatever the case, our Lord has authority over all of it. But then you may stop and you may ask a question, because I know I do. I know I ask this question. Sometimes he doesn't heal us. Sometimes the disease lingers and then kills. Sometimes the depression resurfaces and anxiety hits you like a ton of bricks. Sometimes the pain just stays constant and never goes away. What do we say then? What did the people of Capernaum say once Jesus had left their small little village and then one of their loved ones came down with a new disease? Where was Jesus then? Why did he have to go on to the next town? And this might be the crux of the whole issue. Jesus left the village and he moved on to the next one. Now, surely I do know that in the rest of the Gospels, we get to hear about a great many other healings that Jesus performed, but if truth be told, he didn't heal everyone. Let's be honest. Some sick people were never brought before Jesus. And sometimes people got sick after Jesus left the town. And some places Jesus never even visited. And this tells us something. Something important, I think. Jesus didn't come to heal us of our diseases. At least not in the way in which we want him to. Our text makes his purpose clear. After Simon and the rest of the disciples discover that Jesus had stolen away in the wee hours of the morning in order to pray, they go and hunt him down. I know our English doesn't say that, but that's how the Greek says it. They go and hunt him down. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus. Why did you scurry off under the cover of darkness? There are more people to heal. Let's get back to work. The organ isn't going to grind itself. Ah, Simon, you don't get it, do you? But let's be fair, none of us really do. Jesus answers in a weird sort of way, kind of like he's often apt to do. Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. He makes it pretty clear to us, if we just have ears to hear. Jesus' ministry was a preaching ministry. All those healings, all of those miracles that came with it were only there to point to the ministry, point to his preaching. So what exactly was he preaching? In short, he's preaching the cross. Whether it's in veiled references or outright statements, whether he's quoting the Old Testament or he's saying something completely new, whether he was talking about temporal affairs or spiritual affairs, whether he was healing diseases or he was going on to the next town, it all finds its end in the cross. And yes, he did proclaim the law, most certainly. He spoke against the Pharisees and their pietistic works of righteousness. He spoke against those who didn't understand the scriptures, who didn't study them as well as they should have, who used them for their own personal gain. And he spoke about many specific sins, like adultery and murder and not loving your neighbor like you should and setting up false gods all around you. He spoke against all of this stuff and much more. And then sometimes he didn't even have to speak. Sometimes the law preached to the people without him even having to say a word. And you know how that happens sometimes, in sickness and in suffering and in death. Whatever the case, he preached the law in all of its fullness, but he preached the law toward the cross. For it's the law that drove him to the cross, or perhaps better said, it's our inability to fulfill the law that drove him to the cross. God became incarnate so that he might go to the cross, receive the punishment and judgment meant for all of those who could not fulfill the law. His gospel is the victory of the cross, won on Calvary and then given out to us in time and space. Jesus moved on from Capernaum because this message of the cross needed to be preached. For without the cross, all of the healings and miracles in the world are useless. And I know that's hard for us to understand and comprehend because for a great deal many of us, well, for the sinner in all of us, the cross is ridiculous and it doesn't make any sense. For many, Jesus is nothing more than a miracle worker. He's just a magic genie that comes along just to shower us with temporal gifts. It's easy. It's easy for us not to want to see the law for what it actually is. And it's just as easy for us to want to see Jesus for somebody who he never claimed to be. Jesus holds authority over all the things of this world, but like we learned last week, his authority is something that we've never seen before, and it's something that we would never imagine or dream up on our own. For his authority does not accomplish with strength and might and power, but with weakness and frailty. His authority comes through the pain and suffering and death of the cross. This is what Jesus went and preached in all of those towns that he visited. This is what many of that day, his disciples included, didn't really understand. We, today, can't wrap our heads around it either. Jesus does care about our temporal well-being, that's true. To say that he doesn't would be a lie. And everything, yes, that he gives us temporally is a blessing. It's good. It's great. We should, without waver, be thankful for it all. House and home, food and drink, land and animals, health, good government, all of our possessions. All of these things are good and gracious gifts from our Lord, but they are meaningless without the cross, and they all pale in comparison to what the cross actually gives us. Truth be told, the devil, the demons, our sinful flesh would be perfectly happy, would actually love it, if the church was full, bursting at the seams, full of folks eager to follow all of the rules perfectly, change their ways, fix their families, living happy and healthy lives, seeking the Lord's favor in just purely temporal ways. Just as long as Jesus and his cross were never preached. If you're sick, our Lord most certainly may heal you. And then perhaps, again, he may not. And to be blunt, unless you're blessed enough to be here when Christ comes again, you will die someday. So what does the cross have to say to that? What does the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the church, have to say to that? When we find ourselves searching for a Jesus who's apparently skipped town onto the next one, where do we find any comfort? We find comfort in the cross, because the cross is the end of it all. Jesus didn't come to heal disease, at least not in the way in which we would assume. And Jesus didn't come just to give temporal blessings like our sinful flesh want him to, because Jesus didn't come to do anything apart from the cross. And it's through the forgiveness of sins won on the cross, given to us here in time and space through the preaching of his word, that all of our temporal needs actually will find their fulfillment. As forgiven children of God, you have everything that the cross gives to you. And in regard for our text for today, that means victory over sickness and disease and death and the demons. In this earthly life, that means that you will overcome certain illnesses sometimes, a disease here or there. Or it may mean that you'll die tomorrow from COVID or from a million other things that threaten our fallen and frail sinful flesh. The assurance of Christ for you and the preaching of his cross is not that you will necessarily be healed today, but that you will most assuredly be healed on that last day. Fully healed in all perfection. His death on the cross means victory over sin and all of the effects that come with that sin, sickness and illness and disease and death itself. This victory is yours today, even, yes, as you suffer with aches and pains and anxiety and depression and cancer and dementia. It's yours right now. One for you on the cross and given to you in absolution and baptism and supper. It's something that you can grasp onto. Hold on to with assurance that just as surely as Christ is risen from the dead, you too will burst forth from your own grave with death still buried inside. This is what his preaching means to you. He's not left town and gone to another. He's here in this town, right here in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, in this church, right here, right where you sit, as his word preaches the victory of the cross to you. He's here, right in this town, in this place, in this building, drowning you in a life-giving flood. He's here in this town within these walls at that very altar, giving you an eternal medicine of fleshy bread and bloody wine that puts all other medicine to shame. Why did Jesus come? To preach unto you his victory of the cross. And that's something that disease and death and the demons can never take away from you. In the name of Jesus.